Translation in purple by His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. The Brahmana immediately fell at the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and requested him to accept his proposal in a joyful mood. Purport. The Vedic injunctions state, Tadvidi Praprateena Priprasnena Sevaya. One must approach a superior authority in humbleness. Bhagavad Gita 4:34. One cannot challenge a superior authority. But with great submission, one can submit his proposal for acceptance by the spiritual master or spiritual authorities. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is an ideal teacher by his personal behavior. And so also are all his disciples. Thus this Brahmana, being purified in association with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, followed these principles in submitting his request to the higher authority. Jai Shri Shri Radha Gokulananda Ki Jai Shri Shri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Govardhan Shri Gaurinitai Guru Parampara Shri Prabhupada Tulsi Maharani Ki Jai. Thus a Brahmana, being purified in association with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, followed these principles in submitting his request to the higher authority. He fell down at the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and then spoke as follows. Okay. So we're about to learn what the proposal is of the Brahmana, but we'll discuss and go from there. Omagyanatamarandasya Ginanjana Shalakaya Chakshun Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Padakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavam Cha Sri Rupam Sakrajatam Sakana Raghunatam Vitam Tvam Sijivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Purjana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakam Vitamscha Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Rishabhanu Suta Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kaupa Turubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhyevacha Patita Nam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadara Sri Vasadi Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Okay. So it's an interesting verse and purport, and an interesting place in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Lord Chaitanya is being criticized by the Mayavadi sannyasis. And is causing disturbance to his followers. And then this Brahmana has come to the house where Lord Chaitanya is staying. And his proposal, which I'll read to you, is he's going to ask Lord Chaitanya to come to an assembly of Mayavadi sannyasis in Benares. He says, "My dear Lord, I have invited all the sannyasis of Benares to my home. My desires will be fulfilled if you also accept my invitation." And in a few verses on, Prabhupada is also going to explain, I'll read it. It says, "This coincidence was made possible by the omnipotence of the Lord. The Lord inspired that person to make that request. And when the Lord comes into the association of the sannyasis at the home of this Brahmana, he'll pay his respects. He'll also manifest this brilliant effulgence. The sannyasis will be very impressed by him." And in the purport further on, Prabhupada will explain how that when Prakashananda Sarasvati requested the Lord to join them, that was his agyata sukriti, and by the Agyata Sukriti, by that unknown devotional service, he is then able to understand the teachings of the Lord when the Lord explains the science of Krishna consciousness. But before that, here we are having this point brought out in the purport by Srila Prabhupada, the approach that is being made here by this Brahmana. So we understand there is such a thing as sadhacha, right? So there is the etiquette of devotional practice. And sadhacha is actually learned from those who are perfected devotees. So the behavior of those people whose character is impelled and inspired by the spiritual energy, that behavior, it actually demonstrates how the Lord likes the devotees to behave. Okay? They are doing everything perfectly because they are inspired fully by the devotional energy, by bhakti shakti. So what they do, that is by definition what the Lord likes. Right? So when we follow that, then we understand that our behavior is pleasing to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And our purpose is to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. First point. The purport Prabhupada begins, the Vedic injunction state, tatvidhi pratena pratena sevaya. One must approach a superior authority in humbleness. This is such a key point. Our success, let's go back. It's tricky. When you see a devotee's behavior, when you see the result of a devotee's actions, it's tricky. You may want to consider, how are they achieving what they're achieving? Is it because they have a particular type of karma? Or is it because of the mercy of the Lord? Like that. So how do you know what it is? You don't. You don't. But the consideration is that if we take it as the Lord's mercy, then irrespective of whether it's the person's karma, we need to pick that up. Irrespective of whether it's the person's karma or the mercy, it becomes that. It actually becomes that. There are many different angles which are taken in when we consider devotional activities. Right? I'm just bringing this up because this is in line with this point where one must approach a superior authority in humbleness. Because here, particularly, what is being emphasized isn't so much the activity as what? What's being emphasized? The mood. The mood. Right? This is so important. The mood determines what the activity is for a devotee. Right? If you're proud and if you think you're the doer, are you performing devotional service? Right? You know, you're a millionaire and you come and you give something. And you're very proud about what you've given. Right? You ignore the fact that the ability to achieve that has been given by Krishna. He's the ability in man. You ignore the fact that actually all the resources on this planet, including your body and your intelligence, has been given by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You ignore the fact that the very ability that you have to offer anything is an opportunity given by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So then you give something that you think is yours to someone who it actually originally belonged to, and you're proud. Is that devotional service? In one sense, you could say, well, from the point of view that it's in contact with Krishna, yes. Right? But from the point of view that the mood is wrong, no. So there is something, but it's not what it could be. Okay? There is something, but it's not what it could be. And therefore, it's also regarded in different ways by authority. So there's pastimes where Prabhupada, someone would come and give Prabhupada some money, he wouldn't even look at them. He wouldn't even look at them, he would just look away. Right? Because he wanted to emphasize that the mood's wrong. Your mood is wrong. Right? You think, well, it's the kata aham iti manyate. Huh? Kata aham iti manyate. He thinks I'm the doer. Yeah? He thinks on the two of what? Prakriti kriyamana nikuni kamani savasya. The bewildered living entity thinks that he is a doer of activities which are actually carried out by material nature. And you see that sometimes also the spiritual master will emphasize different things. Right? Because this verse is the purport speaking about approaching spiritual master authority. Right? So if it's done in a humble mood, then we emphasize the connection with Krishna. Right? If it's done with pride, then we emphasize that this is actually pride that's coming in this particular interaction. Okay? So you have the same activity, different consciousness, therefore there's different result. In devotional service, motive is everything. Motive is everything. Motive will determine whether we stay in the material world or whether we go back home, back to Godhead. Right? Who is our devotional service for? Now, it's interesting that someone may be a living entity with anattas. We may have anattas, but it doesn't mean that our devotional service has to be motivated by the anattas. You understand the point? Right? In other words, one doesn't have to be a pure devotee in the sense of being 100% free of anattas in order to practice pure devotional service. It is considered pure devotional service if the motive is pure. Right? Why are you performing your devotional service? I'm doing it to please Srila Prabhupada. I'm doing it to please the spiritual master. I'm doing it for the pleasure of Krishna. That activity is pure devotional service. One is practicing pure devotional service. The great caliber of His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada is that he is such an inspiring, powerful, empowering individual that people felt inspired to do things for His pleasure. You understand? Right? So therefore, one may have even had other anattas, motivations in the heart, but the prominent desire or the prominent reason or the impetus, let's say, for the devotional service is I want to put a smile on Srila Prabhupada's face. I want Srila Prabhupada to be pleased with my service. And therefore, with that particular motive, much went into the heart of those individuals. Right? And that is always accessible. That is always accessible. Over time, what we will see in devotional service is we will notice how different individuals accelerate at different rates in their Krishna consciousness. Right? And this will be the reason why. Right? This purport is so powerful for that reason. Here, what Prabhupada is doing is bringing out some essential elements of spiritual acceleration. Right? Because one of the most important things to understand is that we are not the prime cause of our own advancement. Right? If you think that your sadhana, right, your endeavor is the prime cause of your devotional advancement, you don't understand this philosophy. Right? What are we looking for? What are we actually looking for? What you're looking for is actually the mercy of self-realized souls. Right? That is what you're endeavoring for. Right? I was explaining this when we gave a class at Soho Street a while ago. You see, sometimes we think cooperation is a nice thing to have. And then we'll talk in the mood of, you know, well, I don't want to cooperate, or why should I cooperate? But you don't understand that cooperation is the only thing. Because if the devotees around you don't go back to Godhead, you don't go back. Right? If they're not pleased to you, you don't go forward. It's a collective endeavor. Right? There are no unsung heroes in Krishna consciousness. It's a group affair. Right? So when you sabotage the devotional life of another person, you are destroying your own devotional success. You should be clear on that. Right? Unfortunately, now in some places it's become a subculture to be stupid. So people think that by doing this kind of thing, they're being kind of cool and dangerous. Right? But no, that's just foolish. Right? So what happens is you have one tamasic individual who associates with other tamasic individuals, and they convince each other that they're being kind of very special and intelligent and clever. But they're fools. Right? Because what you do to another person is what is also coming back upon you. Here, this humility is so essential. This humility is so essential. There was something I was going to mention in relation to that. Yes, this is the point. So when you are being given a hard time, when you have some association which you find difficult, how do you perceive that situation? Right? Because our philosophy says that what's happening to you is something that you've done to another person. Right? That's our philosophy. So when that other bhakta is giving you a hard time, do you consider that this person is a reflection of who I was? Right? Have you ever thought about it like that? That person who's giving you a hard time, they're a reflection of the person that I was. Right? What they do to me, they're a reflection of the things that I've done before to someone else. How they treat me, they're a reflection of the way that I've treated another individual. Do we have that humility? Or is it just that they're a foolish bhakta who doesn't understand my position? Think about it. Now, that's not to say that we don't deal practically with the situation at hand. But humility, Krishna appreciates humility. You should know that. He likes it. So when we talk about pleasing Krishna, you always understand that these things, these subtleties, humility, tolerance, respect, Krishna likes it. Right? So it's not something you simply do for someone else. Krishna likes it. He's pleased by that. Right? And humility has great profound meaning. So when one devotee said to Prabhupada, you know, how can we become humble? And Prabhupada said, just be bold for Krishna. That's humility. Because humility means it's not about me, it's about what Krishna wants. I do what Krishna wants, I'm humble. End of story. It's a very simple definition, right? Does Krishna want you to be abused? No. So if you're just taking that unnecessarily and you're losing your impetus for devotional life, are you being humble? No, that's called stupid. That's called stupidity. Right? But we have to understand what the real term means. Right? Humbleness. There's a letter. Prabhupada said that the reason why Ram's army, Hanuman and the monkeys, they defeated Ravana's army, even though Ravana's army had weapons, they were using black magic, all kinds of things. Prabhupada says it's because Hanuman and, you know, the army of Lord Ram, they were working under the Daivi Shakti, right? The divine potency. Whereas Ravana's army, they were working under the mundane power, their own karmic ability. Right? How does one hold spiritual energy, spiritual empowerment? Humility is required. Right? When you request something, when you request blessings, best wishes of the devotees, if you do it and your mood is humble, when that blessing comes, you can hold it. If you request it with pride, you can't actually hold that. You don't hold it. So it's possible for someone to be blessed and to be continuously losing access to the very blessing that they've been given. Right? Depending upon the mood that you have. Right? Unfortunately, and it is very unfortunate, that we live in a society, especially when people who are connected to the Vedic culture, there is not the proper understanding of why we act a certain way. Right? Therefore, the tradition actually becomes deteriorated and starts to be lost. Right? See, and this is in relation to another aspect of humility. See, why are we humble to authority? Right? One of the reasons why we're humble to authority is because it's understood in the Vedic culture that if you respect authority and if you're humble to authority, it aids your spiritual growth and learning. In a situation where you don't respect a particular teacher, you actually cut yourself off from your ability to learn from that particular teacher. Right? Because people don't understand that, then you have a kind of warped tradition where people will demand respect. Even the teachers don't even know why you should respect the teacher. Right? They've no clue. Right? The students think, why do I need to respect the teacher? The student doesn't understand that it's in your interest to respect them. You may think it's, oh, I'm offering respect, why should I give it to them? No, you're giving it to yourself. You understand? Right? But because people aren't taught that, the tradition deteriorates. Because it becomes an empty set of rituals or behaviors, and no one has a clue why we're doing it. Right? So an intelligent person, first they ask, why should we respect the teachers? Why should we respect our parents? Why should we respect the spiritual master? First someone will ask, they get no answers, and then after a while they think, well, I can't figure it out. No one else seems to know, so let's kick that out. That must be something which is unnecessary. Right? And then the culture dies. Right? And you'll see, again, those people have the correct mood, they accelerate. All of these facets of Krishna consciousness, if it's good for Krishna, it's good for you. You understand? If it works for Krishna, it will work for you. He's not stupid. He's not going to give you anything which is not actually for your ultimate benefit. Right? Be very clear on that point. The whole culture is perfectly designed. This person knows what he's doing. The Supreme Personality of God, he knows what he's doing. Right? So if it's good for you, so if it's good for Krishna, it's actually going to be best for you. Right? That's a fact. The other point in terms of humility. So in the Gurukul, again, the students are taught to respect the authorities, because wherever you have humility and reverence for the teacher and that field of learning, you will always constantly grow in knowledge in that particular field. So pride destroys you. You understand? The proud person, they may think, I'm proud, I'm above other people, they're just destroying themselves. Right? That's the point. It's nothing, it's not that, you know, I'm getting one over on someone else, you know, why do I need to listen to them? No, you destroy your own learning, you destroy your own advancement, right? And guess what happens? When you become an authority, guess what happens, right? You'll be treated in exactly the same way that you treat your own authorities. Watch. And then, of course, but once that happens, then everyone complains, you know, no one listens to me, why? No, that's because that's how you are. Right? You see, this is scientific. This is a mirror. You understand? This is the mirror effect. Right? You're not getting anything that you're not meant to receive, actually. Right? In one sense. But at the same time, you're meant to respond to everything in a practical, healthy, and balanced, functional way. Right? That you have to say that, otherwise people take one thing out of context. Right? Just because something is my karma doesn't mean that I don't try to improve a situation. You understand? Yeah? We're not passive victims. It is very important in devotional service to remember that you have the power. Okay? Otherwise, what will happen is, first you take the role of a victim, and it's always someone else who's doing something to me. And then second, you'll become disturbed, and you'll also you'll lose your impetus for devotional service. Right? I guarantee you, you do a survey on this planet, you'll find people who've been devotees, and you ask them why they leave. They'll never say, "I left because I decided I didn't want to be a devotee anymore." It will always be, someone did something to me, right? This, I was treated this way by these people, right? Jai. Shishi Radha Gokula Nanda Ki Jai. Shishi Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman. Shishi Gonitai Guru Prabhupada. Shri Prabhupada Swasi Maharaj Ki Jai. And that's also part of the humility. So I accept that what's coming to me is something that I must have directly or indirectly brought. Or is Krishna arranging that ultimately for my own advancement? Okay? Now, having accepted that, still, how do I respond properly? Right? So, there's another subtlety here. How you perceive something being on the receiving end is different to how the person who's behaving badly should see it. Okay, I was at one temple, and the class was going on. To be very honest, the devotee was giving the class. He has a reputation of being heavy with people, right? And he was giving the class, and he said to the in the class, he said, you know, So according to, you know, to Krishna consciousness philosophy, according to our philosophy, if someone's being giving you a hard time, I mean, you know, it's your karma, Prabhu. You know, it's like, you know, it's your karma. So, you know, you shouldn't blame the person. It's your karma, you know, like that. You're, you know, that. So, you know, basically what he was trying to say is, don't think badly about me because I give you a hard time. It's your karma, you know. It's your karma. Which is cheating. That's cheating. That's the perception of the person on the receiving end. But if you're behaving badly, that's not the perception. You understand? If you're behaving badly, that's not the perception. Why? Because Prabhupada says Krishna consciousness means to see the world in the way that Krishna sees it. And Krishna won't see it like that. If you're behaving badly, Krishna sees it, you're a rascal and you need to change. Right? So what happens is this. There's Krishna's will and Krishna's sanction. Right? Krishna doesn't will that the cows be slaughtered. Right? He allows it to happen. So the super soul within the heart of the cow sees that today, unfortunately, your karma is such that today you have to die. And that same super soul in the heart of the living entity sees, oh, you want to kill an animal. So the super soul then says, well, if you want to kill an animal, kill that one. Right? So therefore, because you had the intention to do something like that, you're still held responsible. Right? And your intention can only connect with someone who has the need to receive what you intend to do. You understand? So that's how it works. Right? You want to do something wrong. There's someone who's meant to have something wrong done to them. So you're only going to be able to do something wrong to someone who's meant to be receiving that particular activity. Right? Krishna is coordinating the whole thing. So we have to be very, very careful in that respect. A few other points on this. As we said before, we are looking for the mercy of self-realized souls. We have intelligence. A living entity has intelligence. We know that the intelligence is one of the subtle material elements. But the devotee can supplement their intelligence. Right? Two types of intelligence. There's one type of intelligence related to the karma of the particular body, and there is another type of intelligence which is gained through the devotional service, but here we want to bring out it's gained through the association. Okay? That's why, for example, Srila Prabhupada, he's going to make a decision. He will sometimes even ask his disciples, what do you think? And then they would give different angles of vision, and he would take the collective best thinking of that group. Right? So you can supplement your intelligence by approaching like this. Right? One can submit his proposal for acceptance by the spiritual master or spiritual authorities. Right? Because then, by that collective intelligence, you will always make a better decision. And Krishna will often use the devotees who we reveal our minds to, our intention to give us additional insight and understanding. It is a trick of the material energy to divide and conquer. You understand? So first, get them to be separate from the devotees, right? And separate doesn't even mean physically separate. You can be physically around the devotees and be separate, right? Because you don't reveal anything to anyone. You're the authority, you do whatever you please, right? You don't discuss it with anyone, and in that way, you just slowly, 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 slowly drift, right? And in some cases, the devotees, they stagnate for years like this, right? And that's in best case, stagnation. Worst case, you fall away from Vaishnavism. You fall away from Krishna consciousness. Because what happens when you don't be, when the devotee isn't interdependent, what happens is your mind becomes your guru. Right? So you know everything. You don't have to ask anyone because, of course, you know all the factors in everything that you intend to do in your life. No, this is a very different understanding. Here it says you submit the proposal to a superior authority. Right? And that superior authority They can give additional intelligence, but they also give blessings. And there's a science to the blessing. We have a certain type of karma, right? But if you get blessings, you can achieve something that's actually beyond your material karma. You understand? Right? With blessings, you can have superior intelligence, an intelligence that you don't actually have. But it's invested in you from superior authorities. So the only person, again, who loses out when we do not follow this proposal is who? Who loses out? Exactly. Right? You'll find that virtually every aspect of spiritual etiquette is that you benefit. Right? And it's important to teach each other that this is how Krishna has created it. In spiritual activity, in spiritual culture, you benefit. Because, see, what is pure devotional service? We say pure devotional service is we act for the pleasure of Krishna. But Krishna wants a devotee to act in pure devotional service because that's how he acts. You understand? Right? In the devotee's mind, it's all about Krishna. But in Krishna's mind, is it all about Krishna? No. In Krishna's mind, it's all about the devotee. That's the culture of the spiritual world. That's how it works. That's the only way it works. Actually, that principle, the mechanics that work there, they also work here. Your relationships only work if you're selfless. If it's all about you, it doesn't work. It doesn't work on the external level because your relationships are suboptimal, and it doesn't work within you because you're not satisfied being selfish. Right? No one can be satisfied by being selfish. The only people who think that they're satisfied by being selfish are fools. Right? So your rock star, you know, whoever it is who's trying to get adoration, they're not actually happy. Right? They may come on TV and there's a few screaming fans, but actually they're not happy. And you see that in their own personal lives. They're going to therapists, they've had, you know, 10 divorces, whatever it is, they're not happy. Right? But they've got all the so-called material facility that they think that they need. Right? So it doesn't work. Right? What works is this selflessness. What works is getting the blessings of superior authorities. Right? Whatever you can, whatever you do, whatever you value, that's what you can inspire in other people. Right? So if you respect authority, you can inspire people to respect authority. I remember we were involved in one project a few years ago. And the person leading the project, they were just critical of authority. You know, they, you know, so many things. And guess what happened? Everyone left them. Right? Because they being critical of authority, no one respected their own authority. Everyone just left. Everyone left the project. And to this day, they're probably wondering why. Right? To this day, they're wondering why. Right? It just doesn't work. Right? What you do, what you value, that's what you can inspire in other people. That's what you can invoke. It's a law. These things are laws. They're not. It's not touchy-feely. It's not opinions. These things are law. See, when we talk about etiquette, you can also see that etiquette in so many broad arenas. Right? You want to know about the etiquette of leading and following, look at the pure devotees who are leaders. Right? Your Parikshit Maharaj, your other Rajarishis, look at their behavior. Your Lord Ram, look at their behavior. Look at how they treat the citizens. You can bring out, you can draw out the principles of behavior, leadership, following, how that works. Right? Because those who are pure, those doing it on the pure platform, their behavior, that etiquette, that is how it works in that particular arena. Right? So, Shastra has many different levels. Right? There are many different levels of brahmanas. Right? So there's one type of brahmana who knows what's called the rahasyas, right? The secret meanings of scripture. Right? So they have a deeper insight. Right? So the more that something is understood, the more you can gain from that particular area. You know, these things are very, very, very powerful. What time is class until? 8:30. Okay. So I think we'll have to. Prashad's late? Okay. I mean, we'll have to see how we go, because it's up to you, because, well, it's up to my authorities. Who's in charge here? Okay. Because otherwise, it's hypocritical for me to come and say this if I'm not following. So what is the situation? Okay, so therefore we can go on a bit longer. Okay, I'll speak a few more minutes and then we'll open up for questions. Is that okay? Okay, thank you. So, a few other points we would have brought down. Okay, yeah, another aspect in relation to this humility, because it's talking about superior authority. I'm going to say it anyway. So the point is that you're an authority when you're acting properly. Right? It's not a cheap thing. Right? It's not a cheap thing. That policeman who is, when he's acting in accordance with the law, when he's performing his duties properly, he's a policeman. Right? When he's taking bribes and so on, he's not a policeman anymore. Right? When he's taking bribes, when he's shooting innocent people, he's not a policeman. He's not representing the law at that point. Right? You see, you understand how it works. Yeah? So, your authority is because you're acting properly in that position. It's not an eternal fact. You're in the position of authority, you act properly, you're an authority. Right? That's actually how it works. So this is very important for all natural authorities, parents, etc. We have to behave properly. We can't behave badly and just demand respect. Although, from the follower's point of view, they should respect that position. They should respect that position. That's called pious. Right? And in that culture, you're cultivated to respect that position. Why? Because then when you meet your spiritual master, it naturally follows that you'll respect him and he will give you spiritual knowledge and you make spiritual progress. That's why it's done. Nothing is superfluous. Right? So one of the things that aid that is that as one becomes more influential, you have to become more humble. It's not enough to say, I'm humble now, and then you get more influence. It doesn't work. The more you have, the more that is expected of you. Right? Spiritual life isn't static. Right? Prabhupada is ecstatic. Right? But as you have more, more is expected of you. Right? So therefore, an intelligent devotee is constantly cultivating humility. Right? And they constantly see themselves as dependent upon the mercy of other people. And they constantly think that whatever advancement I'm making is because I was blessed by others. Right? And it keeps them sane, it keeps them healthy, it keeps them dynamic, it keeps them happy in Krishna consciousness. That's the only way it works. Right? So examine your own consciousness. If you think that you're doing well because of yourself, you're in trouble. Because sooner or later, you're going to get stuck. Do you understand? Right? Humility isn't something, again, it's not a nice thing to have. It's what works. Without it, your spiritual life will not work. You won't learn. You will not grow. You will miss out on opportunities. And I'm not talking about fake humility. I'm not talking about running around with your hands together saying, oh, Prabhu, oh, Prabhu, oh, Prabhu. Right? Because God's not stupid. Krishna isn't stupid. Right? And actually, the devotees, they're not stupid either, by the way. Right? It's nothing for Krishna to reveal to that devotee that he's a hypocrite. He doesn't mean it. He's just trying to get you on side. Right? Think about it. Right? You're going to be tested. In spiritual life, if you don't, we don't say this when people first come to Krishna consciousness, but it gets more difficult, isn't it? The tests get more difficult because first it was gross tests. But once the gross tests are passed, then it becomes more subtle, right? More and more subtle tests. And if you're not used to surrendering, you're going to be in trouble. If it's all about what I feel like doing, when I feel like doing it, you're going to be in trouble. Because things will happen to you that you can't do. You can't bend because you're so stiff. Because it's all about me. Right? And that's the trouble with this modern culture. It's all so selfish. And because people are selfish, people are miserable. So this is a chance to practice bending. Right? Right? This is a chance to practice bending. I have some proposal, but it's not about me. That, you see, when this Brahmana puts a proposal,
you understand, as you read this passage, he's not going to demand to Lord Chaitanya, you better come around my house now. You understand? It's a proposal. And if Lord Chaitanya says, no, I want you to do something else, he does something else. You understand, right? We're not the directors of our lives anymore. That doesn't mean we don't use our intelligence, but it means that the intelligence is used to think, what will please my spiritual master? What will please Srila Prabhupada? And we have to move our lives in that way. That is the culture of the spiritual world. That's how Krishna thinks. Krishna's thinking, what pleases my devotee? There's a place in Chaitanya Charitamrita where the point is brought out that Krishna likes to see his devotees doing more than him. Right? He spread Krishna consciousness all around India. Right? Who spread Krishna consciousness all over the world? Srila Prabhupada. Right? That's the point. He empowered Srila Prabhupada to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. That's Krishna's pure devotional service. He wants to glorify his devotee. He wants to see, look at my devotee. They have done more than me. Right? Srimati Radharani, when she's recommending to people to Krishna, she says, my dear Krishna, please, here is your devotee. They are better than me. They are more than me. Right? This is the mood of the residents of Vrindavan. And this, if we want to go back there, we have to become like that. We don't go back. You'll be awkward, you know? Everyone else is glorifying everyone else, and then there's you. You know? You're waiting there, you're maybe checking your email, right? You're waiting there for someone to glorify you. Yeah, it's nice, Krishna's, I appreciate Rupa Goswami. Yeah, Krishna, I accept he's quite cool, but, you know, what about me? Right. When are you going to get around to glorify me? Yeah. Hi, I'm here too, just in case anyone didn't know like that. It doesn't work. So we go back to that spiritual culture when we become like those personalities. Right? So practice. Making these proposals to our spiritual authorities, to the spiritual master, it's a way of practice. Right? Submitting requests to higher authority is a way of practice. Here, even at the end in the purple, he fell down at the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and then spoke as follows. It's a practice. Right? And the practice is for the benefit of the person who's practicing it. Don't fall into any mistake. Don't think that if you're not respectful to authorities that somehow, you're holding back from giving them something and why should I do that for them? No, you're missing out. You lose. Right? You lose. Right? So it should be done with intelligence. Right? It should be done with intelligence. But then you must respect. We should respect everyone. We shouldn't be foolish. We shouldn't be naive. Right? Prabhupada says naivety is a spiritual fault. Right? So don't be stupid. Don't take this out. Oh, Bhuta Bhavna says I should respect everyone. So therefore, even people who are abusive or badly behaved, then we just... No, no. With intelligence. But respect must be there. Respect must be there. If you want to make spiritual advancement. Okay? Okay. It's 8:35. We'll stop there and see if there's any questions that anyone has.